All right, I always feel this is the part of the poetry read that I personally like, because this gives everybody a chance. Yo, hey, yo, what up with that? All right, cut us, let's go here. This is always the open mic. Let's give these guys, these people. All right. Tonight, open mic, this is always a lot of fun. So always try your poems here rather than just reading them to your girlfriend or your mom or your whoever. Try it right here. If you write the poem, you should be able to read it well. And this is the greatest place to practice. And first poet is Artie Sullivan.
Thank you. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Hemingway's. Great venue. And I've always admired jazz musicians because they do what we do. They're just as creative, but they do it right on the spot, right on the stage. They're making up new stuff. Now, we get a chance to take the stuff home and, you know, shorten it, you know, cut out all the fat, you know, and polish it up a bit. But so this is a dedicated to the great alto sax player, one of the two greatest of the bebop era, not Dizzy Gillespie, but Charlie Parker, the alto sax man. He died, unfortunately, at the age of 35. Charlie Parker. Improvise, improvise. Sounds like a poet's cries to a self struggling with itself that goes on until he dies. Kansas City kid, you did it on the fly. Did it despite your habit that calmed your jumping rabbit. Your sax, your axe, rang supreme. Notes flew in all directions. Riffs, chords, all kinds of connections. You made bebop the scene. Chan, Yardbird, or Plain Bird, didn't mind what they named you. Dizzy Bud didn't blame you if heroin your mind had blurred. But that was not the case. Poured forth melodies at frantic pace. Did you sense death closing in on those remarkable chops and chin? Thank you.
This looks like, it's a tough one because the miswriting's worse than mine. Looks like Peter Gribb. Peter, where are you at?
Peter.
Peter, all right, Peter. How do you say your last name?
It's
Webb. Webb. That's yeah. Webb.
That's I didn't curse. Sorry.
No, that's good. It's my eyes. Right.
I have really bad handwriting. I'll admit it. Okay. All right, so I'm just going to read one poem. I knew this was like the Mad Woman in the Attic reading, and I sort of, I had this poem in my backpack, and I was like, okay, should I read this one? Because it's a dirty poem. It's about sex. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like everyone can take it, right? Yeah, I think you guys... All right, so it's called... nope, yeah, all right. There were poems about sex. I mean, like, you know, I mean... I guess... I'm going to read the poem. I'm going to get to it. It's called Sex Lives, or alternatively, Sex Lives. Because it's a word. Before I went at it with the detritus of my knife, my Hitachi magic wand... Kanye West says the future is its own reward, donates to charity. How do we take care of the children? Who thinks of the children? Me and my ex-girlfriend having unprotected sex. This is the unprotected sex I've been dreaming of. The slickery slickness of sliding balls, butts, clit, dick. This has succeeded. I have succeeded. In becoming the paperless office, young, attractive male they've told me about. Young and attractive and male and basically not gay and having consensual sex parties with mostly romantic partners, staring girls down with my romantic face. This has become the paperless office I've dreamed of. I've organized my life into four distinct quadrants. Hey, I think when we had that poetry cabal, I offended you, caused trouble, was the immature one in the bunch as I intended to be. In all my new literary relationships, and I suppose the past 4 to 6 years, I've just been trying to find a market for the skills I've developed, and it's become clear the two or three things intermingle for me: sex, social connections, and poetry. And I talked to Clara for 4 hours on end at a bar, the end of which she began talking about her boyfriend. And I suppose I reacted in the way I mostly knew / formulated from television, and in the same mode my poetry professor told me she loved my work in a way that felt not entirely wholesome. Just regulated, I suppose, to the same sounds in meetings, picking out all the sex lies from these words, phrases, and looks. I would pay you to take off your clothes in front of me. A non-feminist position, I conspire in a bar with my friendly twin brother, and he counters that you're a lesbian, but you're no such thing. If what we do is fuck a little, have our own lateral patterns, you just want to be a part of the New York patriarchy, a complaining aunt in high fashion, already subscribed to the accent and denying your roots, you are too pretty to be believed, I keep thinking, every one of those summertime freshmen showing off their hips. A little beer. I don't believe it is for me. All the petulance inherent in voyeurism. So I squeeze my eyes shut and freak out on campus. I don't care anymore. I'll do anything. I'll fuck everyone! And having begun to write like my twin brother, who is just a few years younger than me poetry-wise, and having adopted and stolen his positions in writing in four-line stanzas after the point of sleeping after 8 o'clock, the mouse lives in my room now, attracted by the torn-up bits of fluff constituted in a pile in the style of the tenement families owning nothing but a pile of feathers for a bed. What a shame, a wasteful shame, that there are lives not so peculiarly encumbered by the wealth and prestige I enjoy, having nothing, giving nothing, simply present in the majesty of an eternal coloring of joy. Oh, what a thrill. A dark thrill emerges from my lips, intubated, arising at your sight, literally the subject of all before me, confused as I were by the sight of my first sexual experience, oh so very young and kinky as it turned out. A dead mouse, hunted in the kitchen, haunts me still. Robert Bly talks about poets leaping, moving from one subject to another, one landscape, holding all their materialist dreck by two arms and four fingers out, out, trying to rid the self of flagrant emotional sense and unburdening all the meanings inscribed like the shallow notation rupees carved on the walls of the cliffs of Majora's Mask. And I don't expect any of you to understand that one because that's from a video game. So video games are my generation. Sorry. A hidden Steam key awaits, a classy portal to another vicissitude, another degree, another bachelor. What more, the smell of sawdust and bittersweet pine on his arms like radar, attaching, detaching all the fatal fumes of life, awaiting in movies, art films you purchase on the cheap, abusing the local library's rental system. A waist deep, collecting rust, the floating metallic statues burdening, unburdening those brave or foolish enough to pass. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Peter, but I'm going to sit down later on with you and I'm going to talk to you about sex poems. Peter, Chicken Fornicator was a sex poem. Okay, but it's another story. All right, now this is a cool name, I think. I know I'm going to blow this. It looks like Gail Cabron's going to read here. Gail, where you at? Gail, all right. Gail. Say the last name.
It's Kubrin.
Kubrin, I was close.
Yeah, it actually sounded kind of nice the way you said it. I might switch it to that.
Gail, I'm Gail Kubrin. I'm a budding poet. I wasn't planning to read, but I have two little short poems on my cell phone, so here goes. This one's called Dragonfly. Stick body, two sets of cellophane wings, perched on thin broken stem of reed, then gone. As I look down to right of him, gone. Fleeting, flitting, elusive, like the audible but unseen bullfrogs, the flashes of multicolored carp, sleek, swimming beneath the carpet of lily pads. Seconds later, he reappears to his familiar place. Perfect dragonfly perch, a second chance for me to see. And this one's called Mileposts. Stepping onto the crowded bus, rush hour, young man in business attire offers me his seat. I accept, wondering at his generosity, glad of it too with my heavy bags and tired legs. Then I realize the seat was given because of my hair. No longer dyed, it is now my natural white. I look old, he thinks I'm old. And most shocking of all, to me that is, it is true.
That's not true. Not true at all. Artie, thank you. Peter, thank you very much. Gail, thank you. And all of you, thank you, the great audience. It was an honor having you here tonight. Hope to see you next week. Thank you.